Today's daf in Masechet Shviit Yerushalmi, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is daf Chaf Hei. And we got right up to yesterday. We were talking about, we need to do one of our big reviews, but I'm not going to do it today. Obviously, we're late. So we've been talking about, until now, all of the various things that are possible to be done if they're done in a way that is not Me'erer any type of tolda, even, and it's not ma'irer any type of chashad, maris ayin. So things that normally might be problematic to do, like fertilizing the field, watering the field, or building structures that indicate that there'll be a watering of the field, or digging out stones from the field, and its similarity to harisha, and those kind of things are what we've been talking about. What situations would allow you to be able to continue to do such a thing during Shvias without engendering any kind of chashash. And yesterday we discussed the question of the prakim harishonim, which would, before Rabbi Gamliel was mevatel, what would be the din about all of these things within the prakim harishonim. And the last thing that we learned was lo yisakech be'afar, right before the Mishnah, and you cannot. So there's a big machlokas what that meant of lo yisachech be'afar, whether it was referring to trying to dam something up, which was very, very, in my opinion, unlikely approach, because that's not what the Mishnah had even mentioned, or whether it's like the Rambam, that you can make a chayetz, meaning that you build a mechitza between the rest of the field and the area of the field that's dangerous, but you can't fill it up, or the chayetz would be to go ahead and to make something stronger, which you're allowed to do, which already enters into the issues of the next Mishnah, about can you actually fix a wall, make a stronger wall between you and the neighbor, but whatever it means, the meaning of the word chayetz is to be chayetzli. Gemur de tema, we find the lashon in the pasuk of chayetz in that sense, in Yechezkel, because what Yechezkel says, where he's talking about all of the via sheker and nonsense that people say. So it says over there that the Taina Vakadosh Baruch Hu against the Nevi'im of sheker. So it says, Yan uveyan hit'u et ami, v'emor shalom, v'ein shalom. These are idiots that keep saying everything's going to be fine and things are not fine. Sounds familiar. Uhu boneh chayitz. So this guy, these phonies, you know, there's no problem. We've got electronic fences, you know, and everybody starts believing in that. And then they even are tachim oto tafel. They add additional shtuyot to it, but in the metaphor, it means they'll add a lot of plaster, which of course, the word plaster in Hebrew means garbage, right? Plaster is a bunch of lies. So that's what he uses the word. So, but that means chayetz means to actually add plaster to the wall, maybe. Anyway, this brings us up to Halacha Zayin. So we're still in the middle of the question of what type of things are shayach for sikul. Are you allowed to take out stones? And we had all types of dinim about whether you need to leave the lowest stones that are up against the ground, the difference between what is a machzev and what is loose stones, the question of whether you're taking down a fence, how high, not a fence, I mean a wall, how high that wall would have to be, and how valuable the stones would have to be in order for you not to be under suspicion of taking down the wall in order to be able to be machshir the land underneath, which would be already similar to Harisha, and therefore would be usher. All of these discussions we had before. But what's very strange is that all of a sudden comes along the Mishnah and seems to ignore everything that we had before and actually makes it easier, less chomer. And it says over here, Avnei Ekatev, said if you have the type of stones that are so heavy that you only will carry them by putting them over your shoulder with some type of strap that will hold them, you can take those out wherever you want. They are ba'ot mikomakom. Before we said you could take out large construction stones or any stones, unless there's an iser in terms of the need for the balam for the use of the stones. But otherwise, you could take him out of someone else's field, because people are not going to think that you're fixing up his field. They're thinking that you want to use these stones for your construction project, obviously. But you can't take them from your own field. But here it says in the Mishnah, you could take them mikol makom, and we'll see the Gemara will define what avnei katef means, and that means even from your own field, because everybody knows that these are very chashuva stones, and undoubtedly they're being taken out of your field in order to build your new garage, you know, and they're not being taken out in order to fix up your field. Now, if you are a professional kablan, let's say you actually own a construction company, so then he is also never under suspicion for working all of a sudden in agriculture and going and taking out stones. He's taking out stones even from his own rishos, because everybody knows this is what the man does for a living. He builds things. There's no issur in building things during Shemitah. This is the pashtas. The Rambam learns that a kablan does not mean a kablan binyan. A kablan means he is an oris. No, it's where he makes deals with other people to be taking care of their field for a particular percentage of the output, right? Or for a particular amount of money. So the deal over here is that he's allowed to take it out even from a field that he is an oris of. So even though we said you cannot take out stones from your own field, but if he's only an oris, we don't view that as being his own field. It's the equivalent of taking Mishal Chaveray, and Shal Chavero, we never answer. What defines Avnei Kataf? So what exactly are these types of things? Kol she'ena yecholah lehinatel b'achat yad. It's something that nobody would be able to pick up with one hand. So says Rebbe Meir. So that means every single one of these stones is too heavy to be picked up. Was Rabbi Yossi Omer, Avnei Kataf, Kishmam. It says Lashon Rabbim. So Avnei Kataf can't be referring to one stone that you wouldn't lift up with one hand. And therefore, it's Kol She'ein Nitalot Shtayim Shalosh Ala Katef. What it's referring to is where you have one of these Sabalim holders for stones. You fill it up with two or three stones, depending on the size of the stone, and you can only get it up by putting it over your shoulder and then lifting. You'd never be able to lift it up. So over there, that would be considered to be the Avnei Katef. Fine. Now, what about the fact that this is a contradiction to all of the Mishnahs that we had before? I mean, over there we talked about, let's say you want to take down even the wall. So we said over there that you can only take the stone that requires two people to carry. It's a totally different thing. And it's all of a sudden we're saying, no, as long as you can carry two or three stones over your shoulder. And we actually paskin that way. We don't paskin like Rebbe Meir. So how in the world does this square with all of the dinim that we've been talking about until now? So basically, the Tiferes Yisrael explains this very simply, that until now, remember the din over there of taking down the wall, it allowed you to take down everything, even tiny stones. You don't have to leave anything, because the idea over there of the wall was that no one will think that just to get another 2 feet of arable land, you're going to be tearing down a valuable wall of Asara Tvachim with these big, heavy, usable. I mean, it's crazy. Who would do that? You're going to be spending so much money on the deconstruction, losing so much money. Nobody's going to think you're doing that just to get another little bit of land from under the wall. And that's why it's mutter. So once it's clear to everyone that this is a construction project, you can take everything. This Mishnah is talking about only taking the Avanim Gedolot, leaving every other type of stone. And therefore, since you are carefully removing only construction material, that's the point, that these are considered to be in the ipso facto, that this is considered to be a construction work. And therefore, it really is not nogea, the issue that we had up until now. Now, if somebody is coming to build a bonegader, So now the question is, you want to put up a wall. Now this wall is there in order to protect your field from the Rishus HaRabim and people that would be coming in to your field. All right. So then it's a necessary improvement to the field. So you want to now build this. You're allowed to do it to be ma'amik ad ha'sela. What you want to do, of course, is you need to make a very solid foundation. You can dig down to the underlying bedrock, even though it's going to force you to dig. And people are not going to say that that digging is in order to plant in that area. Why? Because people don't plant in an area of the field right next to Rishus HaRabim. As a matter of fact, that's exactly why you want to build a wall. Since people are always coming along and grabbing stuff from your trees or stepping into your field and so on, it's the last thing that you would do. So not only would nobody think that you're actually interested in making that part of your field, they would immediately understand that what you're doing is you're trying to build a mechitza between your field and the Rishus HaRabim. So what about, however, if you're building a wall between your own field and the next door neighbor's field? So there, it looks like when you start actually digging, it looks like you actually want to plant there, because, I mean, why not plant up to the gvul? You're not exposing that to people walking by. So in that case, it would be usher. Now, what do you do when you're building this wall in the Rishus HaRabim and you've got all of this dirt? What do you do with the dirt? Because, I mean, piling the dirt into your field, now that already looks like you're being metakein lizriyah. So what do you do with it? Well, don't put it in your own field where it looks like you're trying to add topsoil to the rest of the field. Put a pile into Rishus HaRabim, Tzovro B'Rishut HaRabim, and then afterwards, mitakno. Afterwards, you can use it to spread around in the Rishus HaRabim and make the Rishus HaRabim smoother, so that you smooth out the ruts, let's say, right? Give it Rabbi Yoshua. Now, this is based on Rabbi Yoshua's shita, which is that you are allowed to make a temporary mess in Rishus HaRabim for the purposes of ultimately improving Rishus HaRabim. So that's basically what it's saying. Take the dirt. You don't have to take every shovel full of dirt and use it immediately to fix Rishus HaRabim. Make a pile of the rubble, and then use the rubble to fill in the holes in Rishus HaRabim. Whereas Rabbi Akiva Omer, no. There's no such thing as you're fixing Rishus HaRabim. This is all that we need. Everybody makes up his mind what we need to do for the Rishus HaRabim. Oh boy. So if you do that, Kederach Shein Mekalkalim Rishus HaRabim, Kach Lo Yitaknu Rishus HaRabim. You do not have permission as an non-worker for the municipality that's in charge. You can't decide what you want to do for the Rishus HaRabim, because there's no way to know. First of all, Rabbi Akiva also holds, even though he doesn't mention this here, we see this elsewhere, that Rabbi Akiva holds a person doesn't even have Rishus to be Mekalka Rishus HaRabim for a short period. Now, obviously, the two things are interdependent, because you're not allowed to do any tikkun of the Rishus HaRabim on your own. How do you know that what it is that you're being mitakein is not going to be a loss for the municipality afterwards? Maybe they were planning on tarring the road, and now that you've put everything down there, they're going to have to now bring a bulldozer first, get rid of all of the garbage that you put down in order to be able to have a firm surface for tarring the road. I don't know. So how can you possibly go without being appointed as a responsible individual in this? How can you go and claim that you're doing things for the sake of the Rishus HaRabim? That makes no sense. And therefore, what should you do according to Rabbi Akiva? So, Mayas Ebeafar, according to him, Tzovro B'Toch Sadehu. You can't put it into Rishus HaRabim, but you can make the same type of piles in your field the way you would Kederach HaMizablim. So the same way that you're allowed to make a compost heap, three per the Beit Sa'ah that we talked about before, and that takes off the chashad that this is Bederach Zibul, it also takes off the chashad that this is Bederach tikkun gumais and ashruya gumais and so on. And therefore, nobody is going to think that that's the case. Now, not during Shemitah, you're stand being chofer bor and a shiach and a mara. So this also would be true. It's not only Benogea the Shemitah issue, because over here we have to worry about these two shitas, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabbi Yeshua, any construction project that you have in your rishos, you would be allowed to temporarily disrupt Rishus HaRabim as long as you're careful afterwards to use it right away to fix the Rishus HaRabim. Whereas according to Rabbi Akiva, you're never allowed to do that. You can only put it into your own rishos. That's the way that almost everybody understands the Mishnah, and the Rambam is not talking about, according to him, the rest of the Shemitah years. Even this is all part of Shemitah. Why would we include it over here? And therefore, when Rabbi Akiva is saying, meaning b'shvias, that's the way that he brings the halacha in Hilcha Shemitah. If you're chofer b'shiach u'mara b'shvias, also you have to be tzofer with the limitations of the way in which it's normally done. So it's kederach kol hachofrim is the way that he puts the halacha, so that we don't view it as a compost heap, because I mean you're digging out a ma'ara. You're talking about a heck of a lot of stuff. But what you should do is do what construction workers normally do. What would be standard for making a pile before it's removed to some other place? That you're allowed to do, and that, according to the Rambam, is the pirush of that whole last piece of the Mishnah. That v'chein achofer doesn't mean v'chein to do exactly the way you would do the compost heap. It means kiderech achofrim. Then you would use your own brains. What would be the standard? So now let's take a look at that first statement. Avnei katef ba'ot mikol makom, meaning afilu mitoch shelo. So even though up until now we've been saying you're only allowed to take things from the neighbor's field or another person's field, but this you could take even from your own. And if you're a kablan, again, which is a machlokas, whether kablan means you work as a contractor, building contractor, or a kablan means you're a kablan on doing the chafira in the other person's field, you're an aris. So a kablan, mevi mikomakom, that means you can bring anything mikomakom, even if they're not limited by the avnei katev din. Then we got into the question of a wall, the difference between a wall between your own rishos and Rishus HaRabim, and your own Rishus, and the next door neighbor. So it says Rabbi Chiya, B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan, this whole halacha of Bechlal, being mutter to build a wall, we didn't talk about that, any differences in the Mishnah, but you should know that the way that the Mishnah teaches the halacha over here is not just that it's telling me what to do because of the fact that it would be the problems of the dirt and so on. The truth is, you're not even allowed to build a wall at all. So the Beinol Levein Rishus HaRabim, that's where you're allowed to build a wall, and that's why we can deal with the question, okay, what do you do with the dirt? But to build a wall, Beinol Levein Chaveiro, which was not what we were dealing with over here, we were dealing with the question of whether somebody's going to be cheshed, that the chafira is for the field. Truth is, you're not allowed to build a wall during Shvias at all in next to the next guy's Rishus because of the Maris Ayin. But this is one of the important differences between Hilchas Chol HaMoed and Hilchas Shvias, which most areas boil down to being the same for different reasons. So over here, B'boid, you should know, Afilu Beino Levein Rishus HaRabim, it would be us. Because remember, during Chol HaMoed, what we're dealing with is the question of tircha. Building a wall is a tircha yesera, and therefore is usher to build even what over here we said was mutter, but not always. Because if you've got a problem of people that are coming in, and that's what we're talking about over here, where your field could be damaged. So now we're talking about, okay, you would be allowed to build. And you could also, when we're matir over here, if the pirtza she'ena saga et ha'afar, but again, the girsa over here, the pashtas is to read it that way, not shehi, but she'ena. So the pirtza she'ena saga et ha'afar, where do we say that you're allowed to build this wall or fix a wall? That's where the place that was open to the Rosh Hasharabim is not covered by the offer, which we'll talk about in a minute. Avo Pirza, she's Sagat Afar. Over there, you're not even allowed to fix it during Shvias because people don't come in. So what is that referring to over here? The Sagas is basically what they used to do, even when they did use mortar, was they didn't use the mortar between the stones of the wall, as we saw. That wall building was done by carefully fitting stones together. But what would be done is that there would be two layers of such walls, and the two layers of stone would be cemented together with offa. So that's what it's talking about. So if the rear layer is still kayam, so then the offa will stick to it. And therefore, if some of the wall falls down, meaning the outside layer of avanim falls down, that exposes the offa that is now attached to the back wall. But nobody's going to try to get in there because they know that there's a solid wall of avanim that has got to be supporting that offers. Because of that, there's no need for you to be over on doing all this work for your field during Shvias. But if, therefore, you have that saga, so then it's also Lugodra B'Shvias. You wouldn't be allowed to build on Shvias because you have a perfectly good enough, anyway, fence to keep out the trespassers. And therefore, because of that, we don't allow you to get involved in something where, even though we said we're not chayish for the Maris Hayin, that's only relative to the need for having a wall. But, I mean, if you don't really need to do this during Shvias, because it's not an emergency, so then we would prefer that you don't dig at all. Because of the Maris Hayin. So that means that there's three dargas of the Maris Hayin. A Maris Hayin that will aser, a Maris Hayin that will tell me, don't do it unless it's really necessary. And then there's issues in which it b'chol is not near a Maris Hayin at all. And the truth is that this is the brayta. Tani ken, ko pirtza she saga ba'ofer, osa l'godra b'shviyas, she ina saga sa'ofer, and therefore people see that this thing is going to be easy to get into your field, so then muta l'godra b'shviyas. You'd be allowed to fix it up. Now, all of this that we said, that you're not allowed to build this wall, is only where it's not a problem for people walking by. So far, we've been talking about only protecting yourself. But how about where the wall that collapsed, now there's an area that's open, is leaving all types of metallic pieces sticking out from the cement, and people walking by are going to get hit by it and damaged by it. So then it's makshela tatarabim. If it's makshela tatarabim, even if it is saga ba'ofer, muti l'godra b'shvias, because we're certainly not going to be geyser the Maris Hayin issue when we have the question of nezek to the rabbi. Now we have a very special piece, special for Gavi and Moshe. And since Moshe is not here, Gavi's going to have to pay close attention to give it over. So this is a sugya that they've been working on in the Rambam. And it comes out of all crazy places. It comes out to be Nogea building a wall in Shvias. The Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Because Ksiv, so we bring Rabbi Akiva, right? So Rabbi Akiva said, you can't make a mess in Rosh Hasharabim, even if your intent is to fix Rosh Hasharabim. Okay. So it says in the Pasuk, V'sam derech ar'eno b'yesha Elohim. So somebody who looks at the right way to go, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of him. So, I mean, it seems to be saying that it's a very good idea for you to be look at the road and make it a nice road. And Arenu B'yesh Elokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will show you all types of hatzlocha because you kept your eyes wide open to how to repair a road. So you were careful about the Rosh Hasharabim, right? So why does Rabbi Akiva say it's usher? No, I mean, that's different. Shanyu Hocha, Shuhu Tikun V'sofo Kilko. It's all very nice that what you see is actually a tikkun. But it could be that in the end, you're going to be more mekalkel than you were mitaken, either by the mess that you made lechatchila or by the fact that you're getting in the way of of fixing that was planned by the city and so on. So you can't do that. The Omar, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, where's this whole idea of Sam Derech? That's a reference to what we thought, that maybe you should help the rabbim to avoid any kind of problem. So this is so beautiful. The Omar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Sha'ul lo zachah l'mlucha, el al yedei she'ayazikeinu madlik ner l'rabbim. You know, Sha'ul's grandfather, he made a habit of putting up streetlights. So you would go around, you put up these streetlights, and then he would go around at night, and he would light, he would put a candle into every one of these streetlights. Or Barnea will be careful to say, it's not a candle, it's a lamp, right? Okay, so he would put a lamp, and because of that, we find him called Mr. Nair. Right? Well, why did they call him Lampy? That wasn't his real name, as I'll prove to you. So it must be that he was called Nair because of his zechus. Because take a look. One pasuk says, Nair holid at Kish, right? But when Kish himself is identified in Shmuel, not in Divrei Hayamim, so over there it says, Kish ben Aviel. So I understand. Was Kish Ner's son or was Kish Aviel's son? So va'alo Aviel yashemo. La yadesh ayah madlik neirot l'rabim nikra shmo Ner. Because of that, being a Ner, that gave the schus to his grandson to become a melech. That's our enu b'yesha Elohim. So somebody with some derech by making street lamps, he will be zocher to a grandchild who should become a Melech Yisrael. Rabbi Ovenboy, when you're doing the things that we were matir before, so we said, according to Rabbi Akiva, you got to put it inside your own field, and you have the rights to treat it the way you would treat your compost tips, right? So Rabbi Ovenboy says, now, this idea of treating it like compost tips, I mean, that whole thing started with the opening statement of Achlo Posku of the Avodah, or the other Girsa, was Ovrei Avera. So what happened if it's not yet the time for compost heaps, right? Because people are still working the fields, and we weren't mater you to do that. So the question is, since that's irrelevant to construction projects, and Rabbi Akiva is claiming that we need to apply the same criteria that we apply to compost heaps. So is it important whether people are doing Aveda or not? Because vis-a-vis the construction projects, it should make no difference, right? So, Acho Posko of the Avodah. So would you be allowed to be Tzover Afar in the way that if it were actual compost, that you would be Mutter, even though now you're not allowed to do it, if it were compost? Or did Rabbi Akiva mean literally that we give it all the dinim of a compost heap for some reason, and people maybe will think that that's what it is, and that's why he was mater it? I mean, what does it mean? Don't know. And as usual, Yerushalmi just stops. It's so much better to know that you don't know. And so this brings us to a very special moment for Richie. Ah, but Richie loses out. Everybody has to tell him how much he's lost out, because we are now at the end of the third parad. Hadron Aloch Be'ematai Motzi'in Li Neder. Bezrat Hashem, we will start the fourth parad tomorrow. Toch Yeshua Hashem and Simcha Gedela for Yisrael. Neisha B'Hashem Yeshua Elomi. Go to.
Maybe the Rebbe Yisrael Baruch Avram raised that Eshet Lapidot also is from lighting lamps. And Moshe Montefiore's breakthrough was he brought gas lighting to the streets of London. And therefore, they let him be part of the Board of Deputies, even though he was a Jewish. It was a game changer.
Wow.
Part of his chus, which is unbelievable.
Wow. That's really amazing. That is beautiful. Okay. Thank you so much. Incredible. Okay. Kol Tov. What a chus it is to be learning with such fine habits. It's incredible. Okay. Go to everybody. Mamash is Swiss. Very special.